In this episode of My Michigan Story, Life in the Great Lakes State.
So it had like arms and legs and everything?
Not big. It did the further down, maybe 3 feet tall, but very definitely humanoid shape. And we just, we were speechless.
My parents watch in horror as an alien lands on Campbell Lake outside of Grand Rapids. Drake Ficarro is reminded why we don't break on ice in Michigan, complete with a soundtrack provided by the Backstreet Boys.
I Want It That Way by the Backstreet Boys was playing through the entire experience. So the car is just flipping over and I just hear, you know, you are, and I'm like, all right.
And Kevin Johnson has a bizarre but not entirely unpleasant passenger as a rideshare driver in Detroit.
He rolled down his window after I turned the lights off and he yells,
ski up, ski up.
It was alarming, and like a ninja, this dude appeared from behind a tree, right?
All of those stories and more, if you can believe it, up next on My Michigan Story, Life in the Great Lakes State. I'm Rob Prince. Quick heads up that today's episode includes some adult situations that may not be suitable for kids. You can always listen to the show later when circumstances are more appropriate, wherever you get your podcasts or at mymichiganstory.com. That's mimichiganstory.com. My family's had a cottage on Campbell Lake, southeast of Grand Rapids, for 5 generations now. It's my absolute favorite place on earth, in large part because there is always something interesting going on around a lake. Whether it's something majestic, like an eagle swooping down to grab a fish, or something less majestic, like my neighbor's half-sunk paddleboat floating by during a windstorm. My parents, however, hold the record for the most insane thing we've ever seen on the lake. I interviewed my mom about this story, which takes place on a sunny Saturday afternoon on the lake about 20 years ago. And I would like to preface this story by apologizing for my incredibly loud laugh, which I will probably do throughout all of the first season of this show. I don't know where I got it from, and I can't control it, despite the fact that I've learned it's quite annoying to some people. Anyway, here's my mom, Kathy.
Suddenly we saw this way up in the sky, kind of a little shiny object. And we didn't, neither of us said anything, but we were both kind of watching this thing, and it was very slowly descending. And we like look at each other like, what? And this shiny thing dropped very slowly out of the sky. And when it got closer, we could see it looked like a little metallic space person or something. It was a humanish shape, maybe a robotic shape, metallic shape. Slowly coming down.
So it had like
sky.
Arms and legs and everything?
Not big. It did the further down, maybe 3 feet tall, but very definitely humanoid shape. And we just, we were speechless. We were agape. And the thing very slowly, I mean, this took like a minute or two, dropped down.
So this humanoid alien is slowly descending out of the sky.
Onto the
what
north
happens
end
when it hits the water?
Of Campbell Lake.
Uh-huh.
Well, it just sort of comes down. It almost appears a little bit like it's hovering right above the water. And then it just kind of seems to float there a little bit.
Like it's walking on the water.
A little bit, yeah. it stayed like up,
uh-huh.
It wasn't this.
So it doesn't go like splashing into the water.
No. It's just sort of like hovering right on the water, touching the water, but just hovering there a little bit.
Uh-huh.
And we just, what are we seeing? what is our aliens true? Is this UFO? What? It was a UFO.
Right.
Uh-huh. There were people around on lake, and more people saw this thing in a speedboat. All the pulled up. And they lifted it out of the water, and it was one of those party balloons or something that, that you get for a kid.
Kid's birthday. I mean, yeah. One of those ones that looks like a person. It's got the almost crepe paper legs and arms.
Well, it was inflated. Looked like the whole thing. I thought I called it a wacky wall walker, but I know it's not that. But it's something you see at the balloon store that looks like a little robot or something if you want to buy your kid a robot balloon or something. So it was sort of like a wah, wah, wah.
Well, my hopes were so high that it was an alien.
My hopes are so high. And yet, there was a certain amount of relief, too.
Because otherwise, that would have...
Because otherwise, this is going to
totally
be the
ruined your afternoon.
dawning of the age of the aliens, which we weren't sure was ready to come out of science fiction into real life.
Phew. It's not War of the Worlds this
afternoon. The War of the World begins with one...
one alien. And they picked our lake.
On Campbell Lake.
Oh, that's great. Thanks, Mom.
Kathy Prince. She shared that story from my childhood home in East Lansing. This is My Michigan Story, Life in the Great Lakes State. I'm Rob Prince. My Michigan Story desperately needs your true stories from Michigan. I literally can't make this show without them. A lot of people ask me what kind of stories I'm looking for, and there are some basic rules. First of all, the story has to be true, and it has to have happened in Michigan. I prefer that the story be told by the person who experienced it, but I'm willing to be flexible on that if the person is no longer with us. The stories can be funny, sad, scary, heartwarming, whatever. Just as long as they are interesting, then I'm interested. You can submit your story right now by emailing story@mymichiganstory.com. That's mimichiganstory.com. Thanks. Driving in Michigan certainly presents its fair share of unique challenges, from punishing lake effect blizzards to that first big snowstorm in the fall when you find out, to your horror, that you really should have replaced your tires last year. We Michigan drivers learn tricks for dealing with the snow, like steering into the slide or turning off traction control and keeping the wheel straight when we're bogged down in slushy snow. In the winter of 2017, I tried to demonstrate to my tween daughter how you can open your window and grab a moving windshield wiper while you're driving and slap it against the windshield to knock off accumulated snow and ice. Unfortunately, the wiper just came off in my hand, leaving me screaming while holding a windshield wiper outside the window of a car I was actively trying to drive. As you can imagine, my daughter was not impressed. Nor, I imagine, were the other drivers on the road with me that day. But probably one of the most important lessons we either learn in driver's ed or Mother Nature teaches us firsthand out on the roads is that you should not brake on ice. Our next storyteller got a brutal refresher on that lesson. He shared this story at our My Michigan Story June 11, 2025 open mic storytelling event at Apothecary Espresso and Coffee in Farmington. Just a heads up that I bleeped out the name of the hotel he stops at in this story because it's not exactly reflected in the best possible light. Here's Drake Ficarro.
It is January 2020, and I am the designated driver, and I'm driving some friends. They want to go to a hip bar in Royal Oak, if you're familiar. It's now 5 years removed from that day. That bar sucks. But, and it just so happens to be the absolute worst weather of the year. Raining, snowing, sleeting, hailing, cats, dogs, everything. And, you know, we're just right under an underpass, and I see an F-150 in the ditch on the side of the highway facing me. So I instinctively brake. Now, I don't know if you guys have driven cars before, but you are not supposed to brake on ice. I knew this, but that did not stop my friends in the car from saying, Drake, you shouldn't brake on ice. So we then spun out, and we rolled up the embankment twice, and we rolled back down once, landed right side up. I Want It That Way by the Backstreet Boys was playing through the entire experience. So the car is just flipping over. I'm completely there. And I just hear, you know, you are, and I'm like, all right. I had a little change holder. I literally saw it come up. My glasses shot off my face. Oh. They exploded on impact.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so I was blind, too, during this, effectively. So that was fun. Totaled the car.
Oh, my God.
All four souls made it out. The only injury was that the guy in the front, my best friend's cousin, passed out. He was asleep. And his cousin behind him wasn't wearing a seatbelt. Smart. So he grabbed the headrest, and the force actually pulled the headrest out, and the metal prongs smashed the window.
Oh,
so it cut his cousin's hand.
Oh.
Now, this was my first accident. I didn't know what you were supposed to do. I thought you only got the police involved if you hurt someone else. I'm like, everyone here's fine. We're good. So we abandoned the car.
Oh,
we ran across the highway. We jumped the median. We ran across the highway again.
Oh,
and then as it was at a cutoff, we ran across the third highway, jumped a tiny little fence, and found shelter at a that is now named something different.
So
you might find out why at the end of the story. So we get in there, ask for the bathroom key. The guy clearly doesn't care about his job. So gives us the bathroom key. We're cleaning up. I call AAA. Apparently, I've never actually had AAA. So they're like, yeah, don't know why you're calling us. So that really sucks.
I thought you were the people to call.
Yeah, I'm like, it's on the side of the road. I need someone to tow it. They're like, yeah, not us. I'm like, who did I call the last time? Like, I had a car. Like, it wasn't you guys? And they're like, no. I'm like, okay.
Wow.
So we decide to say, what's our next bet? And we say, we will just leave it. We'll figure it out in the morning. So we called an Uber. Uber accepts. That's great. You know, he's driving us. And, you know, we have to ask, like, you know, oh, how's it been so far? It's like, oh, not that bad. You know, a lot of people don't know how to drive out here tonight. I saw six people in the ditch on my way here. I'm like, oh, so one of them was that truck we saw. The second one was probably us, and then four more. So it was that bad. But yeah, little does he know, he's telling me no one knows how to drive after I just totaled my car. Driver then goes, yeah, you know, we'll just take it slow. We'll get there. We're like halfway through the ride, and he goes, you know, I wasn't going to pick you guys up. I'm like, oh, because of the roads? I thought you were an all-star driver. What happened? He goes, no, because that is known for sex trafficking.
Oh my goodness.
And I go, oh, so what happened? Was it my 4.89 star rating where did you change your mind? He goes, no, it was your profile picture. You don't look like you're capable of that.
That is like such a strange compliment.
Yeah, so this guy unknowingly has made fun of me for totaling my car, and now he said that it was okay I was getting picked up because I don't look capable of doing whatever they're doing there. So I'm like, this is great. We eventually get back to, it was the cousin's condo. It was his first night moving into this condo.
Oh my gosh.
There's no furniture, so I slept with my t-shirt as a blanket that night, my jacket as a pillow. We get up to the door, and he goes, my keys are in the car. So he knocks on his neighbor. She has about 60 years on him. Bless her heart. He gave her his extra pair of keys to let him in. And I don't think she knew that day one she'd have to use this. She did, went and got the car the next morning. Everything worked with insurance. Long story short, Michigan roads are as bad as they say, especially with the weather. Anytime it snows, I say, do I really want to total my car to do whatever I'm driving to? If it's not work, I usually just stay inside.
Drake Ficarro. I'm deeply grateful to Drake because he was the very first person to schedule an open mic storytelling night with me at his venue, Apothecary Espresso and Coffee in Farmington. I got a lot of great stories out of that event, including this one from him. If you'd like to host a My Michigan Story open mic event in your town, shoot me a message at story@mymichiganstory.com. That's MIMichiganStory.com. Thanks. This is My Michigan Story, Life in the Great Lakes State. I'm Rob Prince. I'm not saying this to brag, but I have been blessed with a body that just loves to jog. I remember I was always the fastest kid in my grade at Marble Elementary School in East Lansing. That is, until fifth grade, when a kid named Levi moved to town and started smoking me around the track. If you're listening, Levi, I want a rematch. But non-runners may not know that one thing strikes fear in the heart of a runner even more than pulling a muscle or getting hit by a car. And that's when nature calls in the middle of a jog when you are far from any appropriate facilities. Number one isn't so bad, but the process of jogging sometimes gets other things moving that you really, really don't want moving while out on the road. I'm too reserved to share my own personal experiences with this, and I did say experiences plural, but our next storyteller wasn't. Jesse McCurdy shared this story at our April 19, 2024 open mic storytelling event in Grand Rapids. Here's Jesse.
This took place last year, and at the time I was living in Easttown. It's about 10 minutes from here, just west of campus. And Easttown is this really, really fun area, super hip. When I first moved there, it was really important for me to find a place to run. So I decided to find this loop that went by a lake. It starts out, goes a mile, goes by a school, then goes by a lake. And in the morning, it's really beautiful because the birds fly all around. And then it keeps going by the lake up through some neighborhoods, and then you get to a college campus. It's Aquinas College, if anyone knows that. You go through Aquinas, you go through this like little garden area, and then you loop back to my house. And it was like a 5 or 6 mile loop. And it's really, really a nice loop. So I run enough, and I also use the bathroom while running enough, that I know pretty much every porta potty within like a 5 mile radius of my house. Like if you were to plant me in any part of Grand Rapids and ask me like, where's the closest porta potty? Like I could identify it for you. So I'm running one morning, casual morning, nothing special about my run. And the way that the porta potties at this part of the year were aligned, based on the construction that was happening, around mile 3, there was a porta potty. And then there wasn't another porta potty until like mile 5. So between mile 3 and mile 5, you're kind of in like a danger zone, like a no man's zone in terms of using the bathroom. But thankfully, between mile 3 and mile 5, Aquinas College is right in between that stretch. And I've gotten pretty good at sneaking into college buildings, whether I should be there or not. And I definitely have snuck into Aquinas solely to use their bathroom before. And so I was pretty comfortable with Aquinas, and their library specifically was just right along the path of my running trail. And I was like, of course, like I'll just go in the library if I ever need it. So this morning I'm running, and it was one of those runs where you're like, I probably need to use the bathroom at some point, but like not right now. So I keep going. I pass the 3 mile porta potty mark, and I'm like, I don't need to go to the bathroom right now. Like I'm good. So I keep going past the 3 mile mark, fully knowing that there's not another bathroom for a while. So I keep running, and it's one of those like those moments when you realize that something's looming in the distance. It's kind of like when you get that tornado warning on your phone and you're in the middle of the country and you're like, there's really not a shelter for me right now. So I'm just going to keep driving because it feels like the best thing to do. But you already know you're in the land of lose-lose. So I'm running and it's like around mile 4 and like things are moving quickly and I am moving slower. And so I just know things are not going to go well. And I come to a fork in the road where the porta potty at mile 5 is a half mile down the road. And the porta potty at Aquinas College is a quarter mile to my right. And I have to choose. And at that point, I realize that things are bad enough that I'm going to have to make one decision and pray to God that it works because there's not going to be the chance to try one and then go to the other. And it was to the point where I was like, I'm going to have to go with Aquinas because it's much closer to me right now. But the only thing that was in the back of my mind was probably like the voice, like, you should not do this, you should not do this, is it was really early in the morning and I didn't know if the library was going to be unlocked. But it was to the point where I was like, I'm going to risk it for the biscuit. Like, I've gone to Aquinas before. So I'm running. It's getting close. I'm never going to give birth to a child, but I imagine like labor is probably similar to this feeling. And so I'm nearing Aquinas College. Like, I can see it in the distance. The goal is in sight. And so I get up to the library at Aquinas. So I run up to the door. And I yank on all of the doors and they're completely locked. And at this part, like, I really start to panic because not only am I like literally about to just blow up, but I am in the middle of a college campus. Okay, think, like, what am I gonna do? What am I gonna do? I'm like, all right, there's a bunch of windows like along the building. Maybe I can like catch someone's attention. So the panic is building, the pressure is building back there as well. And I like check all the doors, there's no one. Okay, I round the corner. So you have a row of doors, and then you have a wall, and then you can go around the building. So I run around the building, either maybe thinking there'll be a window for me to get someone's attention, or maybe I'll just hide behind that wall and just go right there. So I round the corner, and instead of finding someone to maybe let me in, I just come face to face through the window with a custodian. And it's like one of those moments where you lock eyes with someone and see so deep into their soul, but like you know that they're seeing into yours. I knew that by the way he was mopping the floor, like he was not gonna let me in. Like he was just not having it. It was like 7 a.m. Well, shoot, I can't go to the bathroom here because I'm in full sight of this person. So I round back to the corner, and at this moment, it's that special second where time just slows down. And everything that you thought you knew, you just have to let go of. And so I'm standing there in front of the Aquinas Library, complete public. People could see me from like 20 miles away. And I'm standing there. There's the literal sidewalk just going right up to the library and then just landscaping, flower beds, all of that. And it was like that moment when time slows down and you realize it's time. So I just stand with my feet planted on the sidewalk, butt hanging out over the landscaping, pull down my pants and just explode all over the landscape right outside the Aquinas Library. And I literally say out loud, that did not just happen. So I had enough dignity to just pull up my pants. I'm half a mile from the actual porta potty. So I just pull up my pants and just run and finally make it to the porta potty and just have a moment to breathe and realize that just happened. I'm still alive, but if anyone saw me, I could be arrested. So I finish, I get back to my house and realize that it was a story that I now have, and it was also a tragedy that happened on Aquinas' campus. So thank you.
Jesse McCurdy. He shared that story at our April 19, 2024 open mic storytelling event in Grand Rapids. This is My Michigan Story, Life in the Great Lakes State. I'm Rob Prince. Detroit has been fighting a reputation for having a lot of serious social issues, including drug problems, for decades now. But our next Detroit-based storyteller would like you to know that every town has its problems, as he discovered from an odd passenger he had while rideshare driving. He shared this story at our My Michigan Story open mic event at River's Edge Gallery in Wyandotte on July 10th, 2025. Here's Kevin Johnson.
I'm from Detroit, east side of Detroit, so everybody hustles. Like, I feel like everybody hustles is a thing. Detroit hustles harder type thing. So, you know, we all feel like everybody does, like, DoorDash and have, like, these DoorDash stories in the city. Like, everybody broke. I was doing Lyft, where I had to pick this dude up for a ride. Pick him up from Roseville, I had to take him to Detroit. And then back to Roseville, which ain't uncommon, just another ride for me. I'm just trying to get to this money. I got a certain amount of money I'm trying to make that day. Mm-hmm. And the guy gets in the car and he's irritated, like twitchy. And I'm thinking that he's just like going off. He's going off about his girlfriend. He just got home from work. And he's like, man, she smoked my stuff, man. I'm like, all right, damn, man. I understand that. Cause like, if you're a girl in Michigan, like you ain't dating a girl in Michigan who smoke weed. Like we all smoke weed. Like, y'all, I mean, we got some stoner chicks in Michigan, so I've been there before, you know what I mean?
Right.
She's smoking the weed, so I'm like, all right, then, for sure, man. And the guy's like, but now I got to stop at the bank first and, you know, doing all the extra stuff. But like anybody else, he talked money to me. He's like, you know, but I'm going to give you an extra tip, man. We got $20, bro. It's going to be cool. I'm like, all right, then, cool, because I need the money, so I don't care. We get to the east side, just across 8 Mile. We turned to a hood neighborhood that I know that I wouldn't even go in. I'm from the east side. Like, it was most certainly like alarming to me, but I'm, once again, like, when you're in that mode driving and hustling, you don't care. You just go in and do what you do. So we turned down this block, and this white dude, this is what blew my mind. He said, hey, bro, you got to turn your lights off. That's when I started getting away. When he told me that he was, you know, like, I'm thinking, like, his girl smoked this stuff. I'm like, everybody smokes and, you know, smokes weed in Michigan. That's fine. But I'm like, some people go to dispensaries, some people go to the hood. You know what I'm saying? Not a big deal. But he rolled down his window after I turned the lights off, and he yelled, ski up, ski up. It's alarming to hear that from the back seat, bro. Like, it was alarming, and like a ninja, this dude appear from behind a tree, right? Because my lights was, I mean, I didn't see him coming, bro. Like, and like, even if you were going to do like, I mean, even if you were going to buy weed for somebody, like back in the day, growing before there's all the dispensaries and stuff like that, you go into the house and you buy your weed like a respectable person. You support that drug dude. You
respect,
may smoke
the
with
system.
Him. Yeah, it was a bonding period when you had the weed men. But now it's like, that's what I was expecting to happen, man. So I'm thinking you're just going to re-up weed. But when the dude comes to the car, the guy was like, hey, bro, I need 4 rocks. And I'm like, oh. I'm like, because it blew my mind, because the first thing I thought of was like, it's a crackhead with a debit card. Like, in order to have a Lyft, you have to have a debit card. And like, it just blew the notion of anything that I knew growing up in Detroit that, you know, crackheads have that much money. You know what I'm saying?
And good enough credit.
Like, I just didn't believe it. Like, it was the drug dealer. He was offended. Like, look here, bro. You can't take a Lyft to come and re-up. Like, I'm thinking that we in the hood. The dude who's a crackhead in my back seat is gonna, you know, cower down. But he did not. Like, he doubled down. Like, man, I came from Roseville. Like, how do you expect me to get here? He's like, walk. No, he's like, yeah, but if you got to. And then man was like, you gonna buy me some new shoes? And I'm like, wow, this is a it's a white dude expressing privilege at a crack buying.
Wow.
If there was a manager, he would have spoke to the manager. I feel like he would Yelp review the crack. I mean, I don't want to say crack dealer, but the server was, you know, like,
server.
Yeah, so the server was like, man, you know, get out of here. Man, he said, man, I'll be back next week. By then, I'm annoyed. And he kind of told him I'm annoyed, but he was like, look here, bro, man, look, don't worry about it, man. I'm sorry about the stress. He said, I'm going to throw you 50. And I thought crackheads were broke, so, like, it was the best tip I had of the night. I gave him 5 stars, because I literally, like, you don't get customers like that. I pick people up from rich places like Northfield and Bloomfield Hills, but a crackhead from Roseville gave me a $50 tip, man. And like, we all the same people, bro. We all got them in our family, man. Right. And then, like, it was like a couple months later on, I saw the news that a crack house was ran by like a city official out in Roseville. Like, it was in the news big time. And I was like, yeah, I knew about that. I knew they had a problem. Like, I was already up on game on how things are down in Roseville, baby. So don't just talk about my city of Detroit, man. It's everywhere, bro. It's everywhere.
All right. And that's my story. Thank you so much.
Kevin Johnson, he shared that story at our July 10, 2025 open mic storytelling event at River's Edge Gallery in Wyandotte. Special thanks to Jeremy Hansen of River's Edge Gallery for setting up that open mic storytelling event for me. It was such a wonderful time, and I was so impressed with Wyandotte and the incredible River's Edge Gallery. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of My Michigan Story, Life in the Great Lakes State. Today's episode was edited by myself, Rob Prince. My Michigan Story is presented by WKR in East Lansing. Remember, I can't make my Michigan story without your Michigan story. So submit your story now at mymichiganstory.com. That's mimichiganstory.com. That's also where you can find our podcast, learn more about upcoming live events, and more. Thanks.